were the first performing arts centre in the country and one of the very first arts organisations to have a reconciliation action plan.
How has this fared? Have you achieved your goals of Indigenous participation?
I think every year you're always taking on other priorities. And so initially we looked at hundreds of things we could do and then we prioritised. And our vision of embedding works across the whole of the organisation is really coming to fruition. Like all our programming areas, for example, have Indigenous product, but also across our team and staffing, we've been able to increase Aboriginal employment at the Opera House. In fact, we have 21 people at the moment that are First Nations, and also creating that visibility and really capacity building of a lot of the gaps in the arena of creative industries, whether that be in production, back of house, security, right through to the programming and what you're seeing on stage.
And one of the videos that we were able to view last night featured a young trainee who came in and is gaining skills in production at the Opera House.
We're really, really lucky. We've had this amazing program with a lot of the high schools such as Canterbury and inner city schools, but also Western Sydney schools right out to Eds. And it's really exciting because the kids come along in their year 10, 11, and they do their work experience with us. And what's happened is because the relationship has developed and we've been running this program now for many, many years, we've developed a really good point of communication with young people. And so we're finding more and more, and particularly when they finish school and go on to university, they're returning to the Opera House to work as ushers or various other front of house staffing that's on a casual basis so they can do their studies and they can also work within the area that they
qualify in.
Yeah, or enjoy, you know.
Yeah.
And that's great because there's been so much, if you look at television or you look at film or theatre and other sectors of the performing arts, we're seeing more and more musicians and so forth and more exposure of that sector. But of course, to run the content, you need people behind the sound, the lighting, the tech, you know. And so it's really exciting to see that there's this whole new generation of young First Nations people who have those skills. I think it's having the structure, but also buildings like the Opera House, many spaces across particularly capital cities for Aboriginal people often feel inaccessible or they feel that they don't have a right to be in those buildings. And so with the work we've done over the last few years, whether it be through our programming or through our innovation and working with youth, a lot of those barriers have broken down. And so they're really excited that they have a space within the house and they feel comfortable. That was one of the first initiatives we really looked at, where people knew it was their building as well.
You're about to fly away, I know, today or tomorrow, to actually promote another very successful event, Dance Rights.
Yes, look, Dance Rights we launched last year. It's been in the making for a number of years, talking to communities and trialling it around the country at various festivals. But it's a national dance gathering. It's open to all community sectors. No one needs to really be a dancer. It's about the way that we used to, as First Peoples, have many intergenerational exchanges, whether they be in gatherings or, you know, back on country. Our lifestyles are very different these days, and sadly a lot of people living in environments don't get back to country because where they're working or living or their kids are going to school and so forth. And so we feel it's very important to nurture the classics of our culture, the traditional song lines, and ensure that we capture them, because we're facing a period, I guess, that no other First Peoples have faced, none of our ancestors have faced as such. With each time an elder passes, sadly, there's lots of knowledge that goes. You know, this country was run by outlaws, and up until recently, the performance of dance or speaking your language or, you know, doing things on country through ritual were banned. And so we've lost a couple of generations because it was outlawed. And so it's really essential and vital now that we engage with those custodians of those song cycles or dance rituals and teach young people so that we don't lose the song line. And so I really feel for this young generation because they are facing a time like no other as First Peoples of Australia.
Yeah, and it's important this event will take place in language, so they'll be able to perform in language as well.
That's the really exciting thing. There's just so many custodians and language speakers across the country. Being able to teach a specific component of your language, be it in a rival song or a farewell or a song cycle, empowers young people. You know, they have their language, they feel incredibly a sense of purpose, a sense of belonging, but it does empower them. It also gives them that voice, that cultural voice. That's really exciting to see the revitalisation, but also to see the older members of our communities who have gone through terrible situations with the policies that exist in this country by the dominant society, to see them re-engaged, where young people again, we're recommencing that intergenerational exchange of knowledge. So that's really exciting.
And that was visible, fortunately we didn't take any videos, was visible last night at the Opera House, where those women who are dancing were different ages, different generations, with very little young ones under 10 or so performing and being able to showcase what they can do on stage.
This is a dance company from La Perouse. They were a group of women who were weavers in the community who used to meet and get together, and particularly with young women. And so they put a group together, relearned their language songs, and had the young women dance with the old women. They weren't actually a dance group or anything like that. And then they entered Dance Rights last year. That's a really nice outcome, that now they've got a performance troupe. They're really active in their community. And again, it's giving those older members of society a place. We need them, and everybody likes to feel needed. And they've got another purpose in their life now. And it's just wonderful. And the dance group, Jadawan, the dance group, are now getting a number of bookings across Sydney. They've been performing. So it has economic and social and just ticks all those boxes. So I just love it for that. And, of course, it's revitalised those song lines from the Yuin people in the south, where many were taken by force to La Perouse and placed on the mission there under the Protection Act. Reconnecting that song line has been really important for those groups of people.
There are prizes to be won as well with these the song rights.
We've increased it a little bit this year. So when each dance company or community group registers, they have the opportunity. They have to do three pieces. So they have to have an arrival piece in language, a farewell. And then we have what's called the wild card. So that can really be anything. That's that amazing fusion of dance is what we're seeing. And that's really for young people to express themselves as well. So the finals, the winners receive $20,000. And then we have a runner-up that gets $5,000. And then the wild card winner will be $3,000, and each year we're hoping to increase the financial award for the winners, is because we're hoping in the future, very much like what occurs in Aboriginal Canada or in Aotearoa New Zealand with the Kapa Haka competition, and in Canada they have the powwow competitions, their winners receive $150,000. So people have been able to actually create companies to have economic independence and to be able to run their companies with a financial success. So we're hoping in years to come, as we grow and build dance rights, that that will also be occurring in this country with a lot of the dance groups. We really are growing it very slowly because we want to ensure, you know, we need those groups not to be set up to fail. We really need it to be sustained over a period of time.